We've all been told that time is on our side, but Skip Heitzig says that isn't necessarily the case.
One of the greatest delusions that people live under is that we've always got time on our side. And time is so uncertain. We don't know it as the marking of our own time. Well, after the rapture in the tribulation period, the earth will see cataclysmic judgments in rapid succession. It will be a very short period of time when you really think about all that is going to transpire. In fact, Jesus, speaking of the time of tribulation, said, "Unless those days were shortened, there would be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened."
Make the connection.
An atomic bomb has the destructive force of up to 500,000 tons of TNT. A hydrogen bomb has the destructive force of 50 million tons of TNT. These devastating weapons are truly weapons of mass destruction, but even their mind-boggling destructive power is minimal compared to what will be unleashed from heaven during history's last chapter. Skip Heitzig continues our study of the Book of Revelation today here on The Connection. But before we begin, we want to share with you a new documentary about a discovery that gives us a glimpse into what life was like during the time of Jesus. Here's more.
Over 50 times the Bible mentions boats as part of the lives of Jesus, his disciples, and others around the Sea of Galilee. Now, an extraordinary documentary hosted by Skip Heitzig tells the incredible story of how two brothers discovered one of the great New Testament archaeological finds of our time and the impact it's had around the world. It's an unforgettable journey that blends a 2,000-year-old mystery with a hero of modern Israel in the story of incredible rescue and survival.
They're near Magdala, and we realize that that's where Peter and John were fishermen and where Jesus told them to cast the nets on the other side. And again, seeing the boat sort of puts the whole thing into perspective.
Order the Jesus Boat documentary featuring Skip Heitzig when you call 1-800-922-1888. Or when you visit connectionradio.org. When you call, we'll also include a teaching from Skip Heitzig called Why Christians Love Israel. The Jesus Boat Revealed, hosted by Skip Heitzig and featuring exclusive footage taken on location in Israel.
This is the Galilee of Israel. This region is the canvas that history has painted so many amazing stories on, including the mystery of an ancient boat from the first century.
Call today and order your copy for just $29 and get that special teaching from Skip Heitzig when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
Well, be sure to check out this picturesque new documentary, The Jesus Boat Revealed, and find out all about it at our website, ConnectionRadio.org. You know, nuclear weapons have been used as deterrents for decades because of their horrifying destructive power. God has often restrained his judgment for similar reasons. But one day, and perhaps one day soon, that restraint will be removed. Trust me when I say that's not something you want to witness. Stay with us to learn more.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 9, and let's join Skip Heitzig as he begins today's study with a story.
There's a fable that tells of three apprenticed demons who were on their way to the earth to finish their internship, and they had a conversation with the devil as to their plans, and one demon said, "I'm going to go down and tell people that there's no God," and the devil said, "Well, that won't work. Maybe a few stupid people will buy into that one, but for the most part, people have a deep yearning for God. It's universal." The other demon said, I'm going to tell them there's no hell or heaven, no afterlife. The devil said, that's not really bright, because people will say, if God did make us, he had to make us for something other than just this life. There's got to be more than what's here. The other demon said, I know what, I'll just tell them there's no hurry. Devil said, that's it. Go and you will deceive men by the thousands. One of the greatest delusions that people live under is that we've always got time on our side. And time is so uncertain. We don't know it as the marking of our own time. Well, after the rapture in the tribulation period, the earth will see cataclysmic judgments in rapid succession. It will be a very short period of time when you really think about all that is going to transpire. In fact, Jesus, speaking of the time of tribulation, said, unless those days were shortened, there would be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Well, in chapter 9, beginning in verse 13 to the end of the chapter, which is what we're looking at this morning, we have yet another attack of demons. It's like demons round two. He's back. And principally, there are four who are released in our section. There was once a woman who was having a conversation with her friend, and she was the kind of woman who always complimented everyone. She was an optimist to a fault. And her friend noted that, and she said, you know, I think you would even compliment the devil. And she said, well, you got to admit, he is persistent. Well, we do have to admit that. He is very persistent. If he doesn't succeed in one venture, he'll come back and try something else. And he does with the people on planet Earth in chapter 9. Sidney Harris once said that if the devil could be persuaded to write a Bible, he would entitle it, You Only Live Once. That's sort of the philosophy that people live under. You only live once. And it seems that there are people during this time that still maintain that philosophy, still holding on to certain things as if to say, well, you only live once, which is true. You only live once, which infers you only die once. And after this, the Bible says there is judgment. And we see here the judgment is even on the earth. Well, let's take it up to speed, especially if you just hopped in and joined us. We have seen what is the takeover of planet Earth by its rightful owner, Jesus Christ. In Revelation 4, the Lamb of God takes a scroll out of the hand of God, which is the title deed to the earth. And he unravels this seven-sealed scroll. And judgments proceed from this scroll. And each break of the seal is another phase of this takeover. Until we get to the seventh seal, and when the seventh seal is broken, there are yet seven more judgments in rapid-fire succession. The trumpet judgments, or judgments that are announced by the blast of a trumpet of an angel. And the first four trumpet judgments, remember, are natural phenomena. That is, they involve the earth, they involve the seawater, and things that live in the ocean. They involve fresh springs of water, and they involve the sky. The last three trumpets are called woes. Sometimes that is a reaction when we get into a deep situation. We go, whoa. Now that's what the angel says as he looks over the earth and says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Those aren't encouraging words for planet Earth. They are woes, and we have seen the first woe last week, which is the fifth trumpet. That is where hordes of demons come out of a shaft of the abyss and cover the earth and torment men for 5 months during this last 3.5 years called the Great Tribulation Period. Jesus said there will never be a time like it. There's nothing to compare it to in the past. It is unique. It is terrifying. And we're starting to realize why as we look through the fifth trumpet. And now we come to the sixth trumpet judgment, or the second woe, beginning in verse 13. And there are four words that describe this trumpet judgment. Four words that form the outline. The word is altar. The second word, angels. The third word, army. And the fourth word, audience. Let's go through it and begin in chapter 9, verse 13, where the first word is noted, altar. The altar is seen. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Now, this is a strange altar. It talks. I think of the burning bush. What must Moses have thought as he was cruising through the desert one day and a bush started talking to him? Hey, Moses, over here. Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. And he realizes it's the voice of God speaking through this inanimate object, a bush burned but not consumed. Well, here's an altar speaking. And what altar is it? Well, it's the golden altar. And remember the golden altar, there were two in the temple and tabernacle. There was a brass altar outside in the outer court where animals were killed. Blood was shed. Atonement was made. And then there was a golden altar inside, right before the veil of the Holy of Holies. It was on the golden altar that incense was offered, and that represented the prayers of God's people ascending to heaven. We have already seen this altar twice so far. Remember chapter 6. There are voices from under this golden altar. These are the saints who have been killed, slain for the testimony of Jesus Christ in the tribulation. They cry out to God. Then in chapter 8, the altar is mentioned again. This time, an angel has this censer, this golden pot, and he has coals in it, and he's got incense in it. And instead of going and offering it before God, it says he hurls it down to the earth in judgment. And now we see the altar mentioned again. And there's horns that are mentioned on this golden altar. Let me take you back in time for just a moment to Exodus chapter 30. You don't have to turn there. You won't have enough time. I'm just going to breeze through it. In Exodus 30, God says to the high priest, once every year on Yom Kippur, you are to make atonement on the horns of the golden altar. Go to the outer altar and get blood that has been spilled by an animal of sacrifice, and take that blood and smear it on the four corners, the four horns of the golden altar. Then he was to take incense in his little pot, his censer, and go into that little holy of holies and offer it before God, which indicates, again, prayers of God's people. Here was the message God was saying, I will hear your prayers, but only on the basis of blood sacrifice. And that is a principle that has never changed. God hears prayers, but he only hears them on the basis of blood sacrifice. So when we cry out to God, when we pray, when we plead our case before God, it is only on the basis of the blood of atonement. Sacrifice opens the way to God. And so a person may say, hey man, I pray all the time. Yeah, but if you don't pray based upon what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross and your relationship with him, it's a useless prayer until you make the first prayer that says, I admit I'm a sinner, I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. That's always been God's principle, Old and New Testament. God answers prayers on the basis of atonement. And that's why Christians, when they pray, say, in Jesus' name, amen. It's not a little formula. It's not like, oh yes, over and out. It means more than that. It means, God, I come to you. I come before you. Not because I'm a nice guy. I don't say, listen, God, listen to me. I do a lot of good things, and here's my little list. My performance record. No, we say, I come to you in Jesus' name, or because of what Jesus did for me. It's the only reason we have access. And so God is responding to the prayers of the souls under the altar. In chapter 6, he's responding to, no doubt, the prayers of the 144,000 Jews during this time, the prayers of all of the believers who are on the earth who are being persecuted and slain. And, you know, I'm certain that during the tribulation, there will be unprecedented prayers in terms of intensity. You know, we pray when we're really under the gun. That's when our prayer life sort of ignites, right? Takes off. It's like the little plaque in the principal's office of a public school that said, in case of nuclear attack or an earthquake or fire, the ban on prayer is temporarily lifted. You betcha. Intense praying during this time. This is the voice of God, I believe, uttering from this altar, answering the collective prayers of all of his saints. Your prayers count. The prayers that you make for your family, for your church, for your country, they matter. They count. God listens to them. There's the story of the king of ancient Sparta who always boasted that he had walls of protection. The great walls of Sparta, he would boast to the enemies and to other monarchs. Well, one day a monarch came to visit this king of Sparta and saw no walls around the city and said, "Where are these walls that you boast of?" And the king of Sparta pointed to his well-trained army and said, "These are my walls." It was his soldiers. It was the people who protected it, not bricks and mortar. And there is strong protection, and God answers the prayers of his saints. Now, remember the souls under the altar that I just mentioned in chapter 6. This is what they cry out to God. They say, "How long, O Lord, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell upon the earth?" And remember, God says, "Wait a little while longer until the full number of these persecuted and slain ones come in." You ever feel like giving up when you pray? You go, "God, how long is it going to be? How long will you let them get by with this?" And then you back off and you think, "Man, I've been praying this for a long time. Do my prayers even do any good? Why should I bother having devotions? Why doesn't God answer now, immediately?" I love what Ruth Graham said about that. She said, "If God would have answered all my prayers immediately, I'd be married to the wrong man many, many times over." God answers your prayers. I was handed by one of my staff members an article from the Evangelical Press. It's from Stockholm, Sweden. The article says, "Spanish businessman Eduardo Sierra stopped at a church during his visit to Stockholm, and he found the sanctuary empty except for a casket containing a man's body. So Sierra knelt beside the coffin and prayed for 20 minutes, signed a condolence book, and he left. Several weeks later, Sierra got a phone call from the Swedish capital telling him that he was now a millionaire. Apparently, Jens Svensson, the man in the coffin, was a 73-year-old real estate dealer who had no close relatives. And in Svensson's will, he specified, "Whoever prays for my soul gets all my belongings." He thought, "Well, you know, it's a church. I probably should pray. I do it wherever I go," not knowing that there was a check awaiting him. And not that every time you pray, you're going to get a $1 million check. And some people sort of try to condition Christians that that will happen. But God will always hear your prayers, and God will answer those prayers. And here we see that happening, except the voice is not a voice of mercy, but of judgment. And in the Old Testament, somebody would rush and grab a hold of the horns of the altar, often saying, "If I hold on to this altar, there will be mercy." But there's no mercy left. The voice is crying out, "Release!" Four angels who are by a river. Let's read the second word that sums up this section, the angels, verse 14. "The voice said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, 'Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates.' And so the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the year, or the month and the year, were released to kill a third of mankind." Four angels. Are they good angels? Don't presume that if you read the word angel, it means a good guy. It simply means messenger. It can mean good, evil, human, or supernatural, divine. These are four angels. They're not good angels. Never in the scripture do we read of a good angel ever being bound. Why? They don't need to be. You only bind someone to restrain someone. If you capture an enemy soldier, you incarcerate that soldier. You bind a prisoner, an incarcerated prisoner, so that person will not be able to perpetrate the crime any longer. It's a restraining thing. And so these angels are fallen angels. They need to be restrained. It's another segment of Satan's force. And again, I remind you of Jude 6 that we quoted last week, which says, "The angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." By the way, before we even move on, a little P.S. God binds angels. God binds demons. We do not. Now, I know that it's sort of a practice among some, and it makes people feel very empowered when they say, "I bind you, Satan." Well, do me a favor. Next time you do that, bind him permanently. Would you? Because though I hear a lot of binding going on, it's like he gets loose really quick. It doesn't seem to last long. And God is the one who binds spirits, and he has been restraining them for a long time until this future event. Notice the river that is mentioned. There are angels bound at the great river Euphrates. Interesting. I was there 11 months ago. I went to the river Euphrates on the way to Baghdad and then the ruins that are being rebuilt of Babylon by Hussein. And I thought then, and I've thought since then, about all that that river has meant. The Euphrates River. This was the great river that formed the eastern boundary to the Promised Land. That's what God said. God said, "Your borders will extend to the great river Euphrates." They've never taken that much, but that was the original template. It was the Euphrates River that was also the uttermost eastern boundary for the Roman Empire, which should interest us because there will be during this time a revived Roman Empire. And once again, we read the Euphrates River. But there's something deeper than that. You see, this region of the world has been the fountainhead of all weirdness and wickedness from the beginning.
If you didn't already know that Revelation ends with a happy ending, it would make this book of the Bible pretty tough to get through. But fortunately, there is a happy ending, and it's a happy ending we can all share in when we join God's family through Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing, because as we've seen, history's last chapter is not going to be pleasant. Well, we're all out of time for today, but if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, I'll tell you how to order one right after we remind you to join Global Connectors. You know, eternity without Christ will not be pleasant, and you can help us share that truth with people all over the world. Here's how.
Westminster Abbey is one of the most famous churches in all of England, but it is not technically considered a cathedral because it doesn't have a bishop's throne. England has 42 Anglican cathedrals and many more grand churches. This nation was once the home to the flaming pulpits of Charles Spurgeon, G. Campbell Morgan, and John Wesley. Today, though, Christians in England are struggling to combat rising forces of secularism and an aggressive Muslim population that is opening mosques where churches once stood. At The Connection, we want to take the teaching of God's Word to the British Isles, and you're invited to be a part of reaching across the Atlantic when you become a member of the Global Connectors. Just call 1-800-922-1888 and sign up today for just $25. And when you do, you'll receive a free monthly download. This month, you'll hear the message, "She Wiped His Feet with Her Hair," from Alwyn Wall, pastor of Calvary of Westminster in London.
Now, I never want to minimize the importance of us Christians speaking to people about Jesus as being part of our witness for Jesus Christ. We're called to speak. We're called to preach the gospel. And sadly, we're more silent than we ought to be many times as Christians.
Great Britain is full of history and magnificent sights, but the hearts of the British people are largely empty to God's love. You can help change that as a member of the Global Connectors. It's easy. As they say in London, give us a bell at 1-800-922-1888.
Well, just like you can find out more about Global Connectors at our website, you can also get a copy of today's teaching at connectionradio.org or by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. It's available on CD for just $6, which includes shipping. So call us now or order a copy on CD at connectionradio.org. And of course, if you can share anything above that suggested donation, that will help us continue these daily broadcasts and studies. So call us today. 1-800-922-1888 or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Talk more about angels of mass destruction and what they'll do to the world during history's last chapter when we resume our study in our next broadcast. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.